absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much. My grown-up Christmas wish. Hopefully, a list. It's my list, but it's also my wish. So hopefully you've been making some lists, being a grown-up. Anybody here still making a Christmas list? See, we all think, oh, that's just for young people. No, it's for us as well. Well, welcome, everyone. First of all, I want to say to those of you who are here in the flesh, in the building, I just want to celebrate you. I want to thank you. You know, I'm a New Yorker, and so we would laugh at if someone said things are going to be closed because there's an inch of snow on the ground. You know, maybe 4 feet, okay, we could deal 4, 5, 6 feet, but an inch or two? Come on, you know. But anyway, so I celebrate you all for taking the initiative. It's a special Sunday. It's going to be our Christmas concert, and I would love to have the church filled with people to hear all the hard work that the choir has been working on. But I thank you for being here. And for those of you who are joining us via the internet, I also acknowledge you and I give thanks for your presence and for your light, sending love and light our way, and wishing us a good day so that those who are present can hear and enjoy the Christmas concert, the Christmas season. So thank you so much. I have to say my poor mother, because she's like, well, we're going to church. Well, we got boots. Well, I cleaned off the car. Well, you can, no problem, you know. So she gets no break just because she's 97, whatever. She gets no break. We coming to church. You know, sometimes I'm a hard taskmaster because she'll enjoy the process, right? Being home, she'll enjoy the process. And I always say to myself, I've got good sense, too, because if it's like 6 or 8 feet and there's ice all around, I don't need to bring her out in that. But she's like, well, have you looked outside? I've already looked outside. I've got my measures. It's just an inch or two on the balcony, so we're great. We're great. But wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. I want to open with our prayer for unity of Washington, D.C. This is the season, and this is the time, and energy of prayer is very powerful at this time. So let's affirm this together. Unity of Washington, D.C., is a prosperous and dynamic center of love, peace, joy, and truth. We are mighty to attract an abundance of good and to radiate that good to others. All of our needs are met in full and on time with enough to share and to spare. We are overflowing with positive, prayerful, and loving people committed to the principles of truth. We all serve for the glory of God. And so it is, and so it is. Amen, amen. Well, beloved ones, we're going to continue to celebrate the Advent season. Advent, of course, is that time before the arrival. It means arrival, preparation. So it is it's celebrated on the four Sundays before Christmas. And there are four themes that go along with the Advent theme of hope, peace, love, and joy. And so we talked about hope last week, and I want to concentrate this week on peace and love. We need to play catch up, so I'm going to do two of them today. Peace and love. Two qualities, of course, of being that would certainly be a gift if we were to have them in our lives, right? If you have some peace, you know you've got something. If you've got love, you have something. So these are qualities that we really want to make sure that we are experiencing and expressing in our life and in our affairs and in our experiences. I like to think of peace as an inner state of being, an inside quality. And it's a state of being
that colors all of our choices and our actions. Because, you know, you can tell when people, let's say, they have no peace, and their actions, you know, you're in the presence of them, and their actions are of one who has no peace, right? And you can tell that. You can tell when somebody's miserable, the actions that they express are going to have some quality of misery to them, right? So what we are feeling and thinking and experiencing within our own being, we're sort of broadcasting it. And sometimes people know what we are feeling and thinking even before we say a word. Because if you come in there, people, oh, we can pick that up. And so it really does color everything, whether or not we have peace. Just as if we have peace, we can move into a situation that maybe is one of disturbance or in harmony, but our peace precedes us. And our peace is able to affect the interactions and the experience that we have. Even our healing. Mr. Fillmore used to say that a mind of peace precedes bodily healing. So even though we're talking about healing, but a mind of peace precedes any manifestation that we want. So, you know, if you got to get something, let's concentrate on getting and having some inner peace. It's an internal expression. You know, there is peace in the world that we'll talk about, but this peace, this is an internal expression. Whereas love can be both an internal expression and as well as an external expression. Love is something that can be shared directly in an infinite number of ways, whereas peace is still shared, but it's shared more than likely indirectly as an effect of our own inner expression. Because when I'm peaceful, then I can affect peace around me, and people might pick up on that. But love is one of those things where it's an inside job, it's an internal expression, but it's also an external expression. You know, because I can say all day that I love you, but if I've never done anything to demonstrate that, to show you that, to effect love in your life, then it's just words, right? And we've all had that too. Oh, I love you, I love you. Well, you have a funny way of showing it, because I ain't seen an inch of love. You know? That old hymn that says, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. I had to go to a church, and I said to somebody, it was a Baptist church, and some stuff happened, and this lady was coming up to me at the end, and I just said to her, you know, I said, this experience reminds me of an old hymn that I used to sing when I was a child, which is, they will know we are Christians by our love. You anybody else ever sing that? Yes. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And I said, so I don't see or feel any of that, so you can fool me. I don't know. But that's okay. Y'all look good. You look the part. Right? But I need to have it as an experience, as a demonstrator. So love can be internal, and it's also an external expression. Peace is also an internal expression, but the external expression of peace is really an effect that people will have by how I am coming off in their presence, right? And so regardless, either way, peace and love. Peace and love. And I think one of our congregants always greets you by saying, peace and love. Oh, it's Alexandria when she works in the bookstore. Peace and love. Peace and blessings, right? So peace and love are certainly two valuable qualities to have so that we can express them. And what better time to express these qualities of peace and love than at Christmas time? This is the time. This is the season, right? Because after all, when we were told of the Christmas story and the Christmas coming and the birth of the Christ, it was the angel who gave this proclamation to the shepherds. And the angel said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And I thought, well, let me read. Sometimes during the holidays, I like to read the story, whether it's the Christmas story or the Easter story. But let's look at part of this story. And I'm reading from Luke 2, verse 8 through 20. And it says, and Mary and Joseph, everybody had to go to their towns to be counted for a census because, you know, Caesar Augustus had declared, everybody go on home and we need to count all everybody up. So everybody was in their home place, in their place, right? And then it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Do not be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, or in some versions it says in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast hope of others, the heavenly host, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to all whom God is pleased. Now, I'm going to stop here and interpret this before I read further because one thing I like about the scriptures that you can interpret it, you know, several times and get new meanings after it. So here it is. We have the scene with it's night and the shepherds are in the field watching and guarding their flocks. Now, metaphysically, we're going to interpret all this metaphysically, but metaphysically, a shepherd is guarding the sheep, and sheep represent all of our common thoughts, our, you know, thoughts that probably could use a little guidance, could use a little direction, but they are the sheep represent our thought, the plethora of thoughts, because we all have a whole bunch of thoughts running through our heads every day, every moment, right? Some of them are on point and some of them are not on point. Some of them we think, somebody needs to redirect this energy, this thought. So the shepherd is that part of us that provides the guidance we need sometimes, right? To say, you know what? I really don't want to hold that vibration. I don't want to hold that thought. The sheep is there. It came up and, you know, it's wandering, the lost sheep, the bad sheep, whatever, it's over there. And we can say to ourselves when we're in the shepherd mode of consciousness, let me go, you know what? I need to take hold of this thought and redirect it and guide it to a better place, to maybe more greener pastures. So that's the shepherd. So the shepherd's out there doing the things in the garden. Then it says, as we're guarding these thoughts in our consciousness, it says, suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory shone around them. Now, angels represent what? High thoughts, exalted thoughts. Sheep are our common, everyday thoughts, run-of-the-mill, some good, some not so good, some, you know, need a little taming. But the angel is that high thought that comes into our consciousness. It is guided from on high. It comes from the highest part of who we are as spiritual beings. It's God's thought, God thoughts, good thought, right? Positive thoughts, energy. And so in the midst of the shepherd guiding and watching over these little thoughts, all of a sudden, boom. And have you ever had epiphany where, boom, you have a high thought comes in? You've got all these other thoughts that you're trying to guide and direct or whatever, but then suddenly there is an exalted thought, a high thought in consciousness, a heavenly thought, an angelic thought, and angels are messengers. They are our thoughts that bring us messages from on high. We have them, they're always around. So all of a sudden, while we're tending to little thoughts in our consciousness or common thoughts or everyday thoughts, we have an epiphany of a high thought that enters into consciousness, a revelation from on high. Anybody ever receive a revelation from on high? Yeah. And so that's an angelic thought. And all of a sudden, this angel appears to the shepherds, and, you know, there was confusion and terror. Wait, what's going on here? And the angel said, do not be afraid, because I'm bringing you good news that will bring great joy to all people. When we have an angelic thought, it's always about good news. It's always something of good, of God, right? Some guidance. So don't think, oh, I can't tell whether this is a demonic thought or an angelic thought. Yes, you can. If it's a God thought, it's going to be leading you to what? Good, light, love, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. And we know the difference between when we are having a high thought and when we are having a low thought. So this angel comes and it says, don't be afraid, right? Because we know I'm bringing you good news. Angels, angelic thoughts are usually good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord. And so there's good news happening. This high thought in our consciousness is bringing us good news about a Savior, about a Messiah, or about something within us that will assist us, help us, save us, guide us, direct us, right? That this consciousness of this Savior, of this Christ presence, has been born. It's been born in the race consciousness. It's available to who? Everybody. You don't have to be a Christian. The Christ consciousness belongs to everybody because it represents that light that came into the world that lit up every man, woman, and child. It's available to everybody. So those Christians who want to profess that they have, you know, they are Christian nationalists and they own, you know, you don't own a thing because you don't even know what you're talking about. This belongs to everybody. It's going to be good news. And so it's the birth of this consciousness of divinity, of God's blessing and goodness that indwells every man. It's now available to all of us. So it's a shift in what? In consciousness. This season represents a shift in consciousness. Now, this good news is now available to everybody. And that this Messiah, this Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And city of David, David represents love, right? And Bethlehem is a city sort of like peace. So we've got in this city, in this place of love, is born this energy that we have access to. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a babe wrapped snugly in swaddling clothes. And when you swaddle a baby, so it's a new, this is a new revelation. It's a birth of a baby. So it's a new revelation. When you swaddle a baby, what do you think happens and why do we swaddle babies? To bring a sense of comfort. They're new into the world. This is a whole new environment. And they were 9 months where? In the womb. Connected, protected, didn't have a lot of space, but they were comfortable until it got uncomfortable. But we swaddle to keep them calm, to keep them feeling a sense of safety in their environment, right? And so when you have a new thought, this revelation of this new idea of this birth of this Christ consciousness that's being born in us, we want to make sure that it's what? Safe and calm and protected. So you'll find this sign. And then it says, and suddenly the angel was joined by a vast hope of others, the armies of heaven, and they call them in some versions, all of a sudden, suddenly, the heavenly host appeared. Now, the heavenly hosts are also angels, but they are now the flooding of the angels, the armies of heaven. So when we get a revelation, in order for, and we start to receive that thought, that high thought, that angelic message, when we really take the time to receive it, there is a sort of flooding of other high thoughts that will follow. to support us, to support that message, if we have received the message, right? So there's a host of heavenly angels that are coming to offer support to our awareness, to our newfound idea of this birth of the Christ, or this revelation that we are divine beings and something is being born. Or when you have, you know, a new idea for something. You know, I have a teacher used to say, don't go telling everybody your new idea because everybody ain't for you. Everybody's not going to what? Hold that. And then they'll start spewing what? Negativity before you even had a chance to really take the idea in. So when we have a new idea, an exalted idea, an idea that's going to bless us, an idea that's going to prosper us, an idea that's going to bring love and peace and just elevate us, don't broadcast it out here. Allow the host of heavenly angels to keep flooding you with what? Divine protection, more love, more grace, more peace, more good news, so that that thought, that revelation has a chance to anchor itself in your consciousness, to anchor itself in the manger of your own being before and be protected. That thought can be divinely protected before it's all out there. So this host, once you receive this higher angelic revelation, the host, the heavenly, all the high thoughts start coming in, pumping you up, all possibility. All good before you can move into, oh, negativity. It's not going to work. This is not possible, right? Heavenly host. So this is the process of how revelation and God is always working in us. So suddenly, one angel becomes what? A multitude, a host of angels. And we have hosts of angels around us all the time. We are never without God's protection. We are never without God's provision. God is working with us. But we've got to be willing to receive the divine ideas, to receive the blessings, to hear the call of the heavenly host. And so it says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God favors and is pleased. And then other versions say, you know, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and what? God's will, goodwill towards all men. And when the angels had returned to heaven, to the high state of consciousness, the shepherds said to each other, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told them about. And so now they are in their human consciousness, right? This is the point where we have an opportunity to accept the truth that's been revealed to us, even if it seems miraculous. Even if it seems out of the box, because if you ever had a thought that's so great, you're like, I don't know. But if you can accept the greatness of that thought, then you're on your way. You can bring that energy into your everyday experience. So they said, well, let's go check this out, which is good because they're now starting to affirm what? Their faith in that this has happened. They're connecting it, right? Rather than rejecting it and saying that I don't know about you, but well, I don't know what we ate or what we drank. But that was some weird stuff that just happened. They didn't do that. They said, you know what? Let's go. Let's go check out this thing that we were told about. So there's a level of acceptance. And when we get these wonderful revelations or blessings or insights, you know, check it out. And even if it seems beyond belief, if it carries a notion of goodness about it, of godness, trust it, believe it, so that you can move and act on it. Don't reject it out of hand because it seems like, well, this had never happened before. So what? Okay? So then they say, let's go to Bethlehem and let's check this thing out that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. Right? They found that pure state. So they went to the village. They went to this place of purity within themselves and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. So sometimes, you know, when we have these great revelations or these directions or guidance, it's good to ponder it in your heart. Keep the purity of that idea to yourself until it's such time that it needs to be broadcast and you need to act on it. But at some point, because when you do that, if you have a great thought that has come to you and you are pondering it in your heart, you are activating your faith. You're surrounding that thought with some positive energy. You are bringing the substance that's invisible. You're working on it in your own soul before you broadcast it outward. So it's really important. So she pondered these things in her heart and thought about them what? Often. Thought about what the shepherds had said. Thought about these thoughts. So we've got to think about these. If you want a miracle, you got to work with the miracle energy. Keep thinking about it. Keep affirming it. Keep claiming it. Not to everybody out here yet, but to what? Your own soul and consciousness. Keep that heart, that manger. Keep all at the village in your heart. Keep it working. And yes, Lord, this is possible. Yes, Lord. So we got to do our work like Mary. So Mary thought about these things often. And it says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. If you want to have the experience of what angelic thoughts, God thoughts, high thoughts come to you, and you want to see them manifest, you have to begin to work with your level of faith, your level of commitment, your level of belief, and work with these ideas until it comes into being. So this scripture, I think, is a roadmap. It's a roadmap in the of the highest order. And forgive me, I got a little something. I don't know if I picked it up last week or whatever. So please forgive me. But this whole phrase, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men, towards all people. I think that's a roadmap, right? Because it's clear to me that the way to glorify God in the highest, because when you glorify God, it means that you are offering praise and worship, the best of yourself. So it says to me, the way, this roadmap of glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and then goodwill towards men, is like it's telling me of what is possible as a people. It's the way for us as a species, as a people, to access more of who God is in our lives. So glory to God is that worship, that praise, that thanksgiving, that acknowledgement. God is good. God is great. You know, we do all that, right? God is good all the time, and we get all that. But and that's fine to do that. Offer the praises. But it's a roadmap because I'm thinking it's saying that the way to glorify God in the highest as people is to establish peace on earth and goodwill towards all men, all women, all children. And you know, when I'm using the generic word, when the scripture says all men, it means all people. All women, all children. So this way of glorifying is peace on earth and God's will towards all people. Now, you have heard me quote from time to time one of the early church fathers, St. Irenaeus, and I used to think it was from the philosopher Goethe because he did quote it, but I did some further research and he got it from an early church father. But I've used this quote all the time because it fascinates me and I love it. But this is what St. Irenaeus, an early church father, said. He said that the glory of God, and you should know this by now because I've quoted it several times, the glory of God is man fully what? Alive. The glory of God is man fully alive, meaning that if we want to really glorify God, we need to be what? Fully alive. Amen. Fully into God's blessings. Fully alive to the good. fully alive to prosperity, fully alive to blessings, right? Taking it all on. Because if it's alive, that means it's active and it's there. When something is not active or it's dead or whatever, it's stagnant. But when we are fully in that presence, fully in the power of God, fully in the goodness of God, then we are alive and we are meant to be alive. We are meant to glorify. That's how we glorify God. We take this life that we are given and we begin to live it fully. We begin to express it at its highest level. So what that says to me is that when we are at our best, or we are at our best, when we live to our highest potential, when we are living to our highest potential, that is, the potential of being all that we have been created to be as one who is divine, fully human. I like to say that when I do my teaching, I say Jesus the Christ was what? Fully human and fully what? Divine. We too are what? Fully human, but we too are fully divine. And when we start merging this together and living as we have been created to be and to live with all of the qualities of being as the Christ, right? Because Christ was not Jesus' last name. It is what he achieved, that Christ is the perfect ideal held in the mind of God for humanity. The highest and best image of who we are meant to be is the Christ. And that applies to what? Everybody. Should they awaken and choose to come from that consciousness. And so, when we are at our highest and best is when we are vibing all of the qualities of the Christ, this high ideal for humankind that was instilled. Yes, Jesus reached it, but we can too, because we too have this Christ ideal, this spirit of Christ, the heart of Christ, the qualities of the Christ in us. We just haven't necessarily activated it to the degree that Jesus did. But it's possible. Because when he was older, he said, look, follow me. I got this thing figured out. Follow me. Into generation after generation, follow me. So this is possible for all of us. And so this birth of this ideal that the heavenly host said is now available for everybody to latch on to. Everybody can have access to it. That's why that's strong enough for the heavenly host to come down and to make a proclamation. This is good news for everybody, because there's something that has come into the consciousness of humanity that is going to be good for everyone. And it's going to bring great joy to all people. So it's possible. The joy that we're seeking, which, you know, which we'll talk about next week, but all of the things of the Christ, hope, peace, love, joy, blessings, prosperity, truth, it's available in the Christ, and it's available to all of us, right? And so this is good news. And it's good news because even though it's talking about the birth of this new idea of the Christ being born in race consciousness, in the world consciousness, in humanity's consciousness, it is also pointing to the possibility of us being able to follow in the same footsteps that Jesus followed and walked in, to become, right, that higher self, that fully divine, to take that divinity and move it into my humanity so that my humanity and my divinity cannot be separated. Charles Filmer used to say that there was a time in which Jesus' humanity could not be separated from his divinity. You couldn't tell which one was operating because both were important. He was on the earth in the flesh, but doing divine things. We are on the flesh, in the flesh and on this earth, but we are here to what? Do divine things. It's possible for us to do, to follow in these footsteps, right? So to bring out, our task is to bring out this essence, this goodness of God, to bring it upon the earth, to bring it into our experiences, and to bring it to all people, all situations, in all circumstances, to bring out this best and this highest within us. And that is how we bring glory to God in the highest, by living the highest potential of who we are and who we've been created to be. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and what? Goodwill towards men. So I said, well, this whole concept is also relational, right? It's communal. It's a collective experience. It's going to be joy of great news that is going to be joy to all people. Everybody's going, it's communal, right? It's a collective energy and consciousness. So we're talking about bringing Christ consciousness, the cosmic consciousness here on earth, so that everybody can be lifted up and experience this. And so I think that this is why at this time of year, this time of season, when it's been going on for, you know, generations, we've been celebrating at this particular time, that people begin to feel more open-hearted at this time. We begin to feel a little bit more joy, and people are more generous and more giving. People are usually more understanding. There's lots of, sometimes for Christmas, you know, those people in countries that have been warring with each other, they call a ceasefire. Let us not do that during this time. There's a sacredness to this time and this energy that is prevalent. And what I think is happening is that during this season, we are people on the earth are responding to the call of this inner Christ, right? We're hearing the call of the heavenly hosts. We're hearing and feeling that, wait a minute, there's something grander and greater than what we are expressing and living. And so even if it's just for a moment, during the season, we want to cease all the lower vibration and let's elevate. You know, let's bring presents and let's get some food and share food. Let's commune with each other. Let's gather as family and friends. Let's stop warring, even if it's only for the week or the season. Let's do it because this energy is calling us all higher, the heavenly host. See, the angel was there, but when the heavenly host starts shouting it, everybody gets it, right? It's happening. And so we feel more love and more peace, and we're gathering to bring more glory to the goodness of life itself by expressing more peace and expressing more love. And we're being used. We're being used as vessels and channels to do that. And the reason we're being used, here's the thing. As you find more and more ways to express peace and love, as an inside experience as well as an outside experience, other people, others will automatically begin to benefit from it. People benefit from your peace, right? Because when you're coming into a situation and it's chaotic, but you're coming centered, grounded, peaceful, guess what? Everybody benefits from that. It's the same thing with love. People benefit from when you're coming in as confusion and arguing and whatever, and you come in with love, a love vibration, guess what? Everybody benefits. Because those vibrations, those qualities of being are strong vibrations of which other people, whether we are aware of it or not, we feel. Just like I said, we could be in a room, and if somebody's coming in and they're expressing a lot of negative energy, we're affected by that. Now, just like if someone's bringing love, we can be affected by that. But here's what we have to understand. We're like tuning forks. Now, we're always broadcasting our energy. We're always broadcasting our inner state of being. When we're confused, we broadcast confusion. When we are not at peace, we broadcast disharmony and being not at peace. And everybody sees it. Everybody can feel it. But likewise, we are like tuning forks, which means we also can broadcast our vibration, the higher vibration. And you know how a tuning fork works, right? It vibrates at a certain speed and level and velocity and force that causes everything else, the lower vibration and sound waves, to what? Elevate, to match it. And we want to be able to match, we want to be able to have people match our vibration as opposed to us doing what? Matching their vibration. So I know for me, when people come sometimes, and this is where, you know, part of my growth and learning, if people come at me with some negative energy and stuff, I sometimes match it. I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing? Okay, come on, let's do this. But I'm learning. I'm maturing spiritually. That says, okay, I see what you're doing. I feel the vibration because it's put out there and it does hit. I feel it. But I'm going to match your vibration because I'm going to raise it now, like a game of poker. I raise your vibration by putting some love out here. I'm going to make you match my vibration of peace and love. So when I catch myself, let me stop. You know, let me, man, and it's a work. Listen, this is a work. Because sometimes we're caught off guard and we're down the rabbit hole before we recognize it. But even then, this is what I like about New Thought and Truth. We say, even if you're in the rabbit hole, you can always do what? You can make a higher choice. You can make a new choice. You can create a new vibration. You can put something else out there that will change and shift the experience that you're having. So I want to be able to keep the vibration high, to raise it. So, okay, let me see if I can put out some peace and some love, because peace and love are always going to be higher than disharmony or war or hatred, right? It's a high vibration. It's a God vibration. And those will always take the higher road and always cause everything else to match it, to rise up to it. So we could either, you know, give in to the fear that's prevalent on the planet right now and being demonstrated through a lot of people's whatever, low vibrations, and we see them. Or we can continue to do the work that we're called to do. Hone into our Christ vibration. Hone into the gifts of who we are as children of the Most High. We've been given this great news. This is this season. We've been given this Christ energy that is available that we could use to what? Bring peace on earth and goodwill to all people, all people. But it starts where? It starts with us. As within, so without. And so work on self during this season, so that we can check where we are. What gifts am I giving to the world? And what am I putting out? So I want people to match my vibration. And it's a work. But I tell you this, even though it's a work, during this season, it's easier because the heavenly hosts are there clapping us on. More love is here right now. More peace is available right now. It's always available, but we're able to receive it more. We're able to feel it more. We can hear it more. We can listen more, and we're more willing to express it. So even if it's just that the holiday season, at least begin to do that. Begin to raise your own vibration so that lower vibrations will have to match where we're coming for and coming from. This is a great season for us to step into our potential. Christ is born in us. That spirit, this wonderful vibration, has a chance to be expressed in us. The potential for who we are is so great. It's so great. We just have to tap into it and receive it. The shepherds had to receive those high thoughts from the angel. They didn't reject it. We have to receive the high calling. Even though there might be a tendency to match a low vibration, receive the call of the heavenly host, because the angels of God are always speaking to you. They're speaking to me. They're calling us all the time. Come up higher. Let that go. Forgive, love, understand. All of these things that people who do not know will consider them weak vibrations, not knowing that, oh, it is far more powerful to forgive than it is to seek vengeance. More powerful. Vengeance, seeking vengeance is easy. Matching that negativity is easy. But forgiving in the midst of a low vibration and rising up, that's where your power lies. Taking up that high road, the high energy. And so this is a great season for us. It is good news. We have the power to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward people. It starts within ourselves. And the more we begin to raise our vibration to the Christ consciousness and Christ beings that we have been created to be, then the easier it's going to get. Don't get discouraged by what is happening out there. We can affect that. We really can. We are the ones. This is our time and our moment. So even though I know it's easy to try to match that negative vibration, we're going to overcome it and transform it. And I believe it's going to happen. I hope it happens in my lifetime, but I know it's going to happen. We shall be not necessarily restored back to where we were. We're going to be at a new level. There's going to be a new form of government that we haven't even seen. It's going to be new because right now the consciousness of equality and oneness is more prevalent than it's ever been before. People are waking up to it. There are people who are recognizing, well, we all the same. Wait a minute. No, you can't take my neighbor. You can't take my gardener. Wait a minute. You can't take my roofer. You can't take this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're all one. They're waking up. Waking up. I saw an older couple. They were 76-year-old retired couple. In some middle of some middle of the country place. And they were out there. They were out there protesting. And they said that the reason they got out there was because they were coming out of church and there were ICE people picking up people coming out of church. And they said something about that hit them. And so they started following the ICE. Now, they're an older couple. They started following the ICE agents and blaring their horns and telling the people that, you know, these are ICE agents, stay in the house. And so the ICE people came and they surrounded, what are they surrounded those two, cut their car off, put guns in their face, and, you know, they were like, man, I never had no gun in my face before. And the lady said, yeah, we were scared or whatever. Now, they have a right to honk their horn and drive down any street they want to. And that experience, and so they were being interviewed. And you know what they said? Well, we're ready to do it again. We're going out here again. And I was like, now, that's the spirit. People are waking up. Right? An older retired couple in the middle of nowhere received that higher thought that what is taking place with regards to humanity is not right. And they will take a stand. See, it's happening. It's powerful. So this is a wonderful season that we are in. And peace on earth, goodwill, God's blessing, God's goodness to all people is a reality that can manifest. And I wrote here, peace on earth really is an inside job. And love expressed will definitely touch others, right? When you have peace within, love must follow. Love must follow. So let us get prepared as we continue to do this great work. And next week, we're going to experience some joy. Joy, joy, joy. Blessings and namaste.